It's time for Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, let's have some fun. Here is your host, Johnny Radio. Johnny Radio.
Yo, welcome into a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy Johnny Radio. My goodness, what a Tuesday. It's a great Tuesday, man. I woke up this morning feeling just as ripe as rain. You know why? Because my Monday night was awesome. Those two games were crazy, and I got so lucky. It was a Christmas miracle. My goodness, I love live betting. And if you haven't been doing during these playoffs, what are you doing? There was some magic last night in the National Basketball Association, if you did not know. You had a 76ers team that was in complete control, looked like they had the ball game. The Knicks had basically fallen apart down the stretch. Jalen Brunson was struggling from the field, couldn't do anything. It was Dante DiVincenzo. It was a bunch of dudes who were just helping this team, trying to will them and keep them in this game. You saw Embiid struggling with his knee. Maxey was great in the first half, disappeared for the entire third quarter, then put it on in the fourth. And, you know, I had the New York Knicks on that money line, man. When they were starting to get smoked by the 76ers in that first half, I had to go ahead and put a little money line action. And I was like, man, let's just go ahead and also do a little parlay with the Lakers and the under. Well, holy moly, did I have any clue that the last 8 points of that game were going to be scored by the New York Knicks? That the officials, did I know the officials were betting on the New York Knicks? No, I didn't. Because it was awesome. They ignored Nick Nurse calling a timeout. Dude screaming, timeout. Maxey's getting fouled. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And, of course, DiVincenzo misses the first one. But then when they get the rebound, they kick it out to him, and he buries that junt. It was like, you got to be kidding me. What a bunch. I mean, the 76ers and the Knicks games, especially the finish, and then the Lakers and the Nuggets finish. Are you kidding me?
What a night.
Like, was anybody able to go to bed before 1 o'clock? Because I know I couldn't. I was so hype. I was so amped. You had to watch the pressers. LeBron was pissed. Like, Anthony Davis was ticked. It was a unbelievable night. And the cool thing is we get to talk a lot of NBA action today, especially at 12 o'clock. Not only did we have three games, Cavaliers beat the brakes off the Magic. They beat them 96-86.
Did anybody watch that game?
No. NBA TV. When it was 30-18 at the end of the first quarter, I think most people did what I did. And that's when they're like, all right, 76ers, Knicks is going on. Got to do whatever it is that, you know, Chas needs me to do so I can sit down and literally veg out and watch basketball the rest of the evening. So that's when you start doing a few things. And then, of course, that first quarter for the 76ers and the Knicks, that was just ugly, especially for the Knicks, my Lord. But, man, last night was fun. And you know what, man? The fun continues. We've got more basketball on tonight. Yeah, you heard me right. We got basketball, Suns and the Timberwolves. Game two in this series in Minnesota. Minnesota -2.5. Total to 11.5. It's on the TNT, by the way. It's a 6:30 tip, so you get a little bit more time to get home, go by to your local liquor store, and get you a big old fat bottle of Tito's. 7:30 on NBA TV. You have the Pacers and the Bucks. Bucks only a 1.5-point favorite. They handled the Pacers extremely easy. Dame Lillard did his thing. They didn't have Giannis. No Giannis, no problem. And then you have the Mavericks and the Clippers, and there's something that I was listening after my program, you know, Colin Cowherd's on here.
Oh, yeah, the herd.
And, you know, yesterday, you know I love gambling.
It's one of your favorite activities, John.
It's
I don't know where I would rank it, though, in your favorite activities.
It's not above, you know.
Can we just put women in general as a category? Oh, weed and women. I like that. The two W's.
The two dubs.
Okay. And baseball,
the winning
I think,
combo,
is in front
baseball,
of it.
Yeah, baseball's in front.
So maybe
football even.
Certainly top five. I would almost say top three.
Actually, but it enhances everything about football.
Exactly.
Baseball.
See, I'm saying more baseball. I'm saying more baseball as in like you playing baseball.
Oh yeah, no,
like you go get hacks in every day. Yeah, so I think, but then you also got your workout regimen and yoga. I think it's top three or top four, John. I'll work on it today. Maybe by the end of the show, I'll have your top five things.
Yeah, I have a few vices. Oh, you got to put Tito's up in that jar.
That's right.
Gee,
yeah.
Wow.
So maybe
Wilson.
It is only top five.
Oh no, it's definitely top five. I love it. But we get to play some action. And I learned from Colin Cowherd. Well, he said something. I mean, he didn't bring any anecdotal evidence or drop a whole bunch of stats on me, and I didn't need it because it makes a lot of sense just by the way he said it. The Dallas Mavericks have two super duper stars, and the Clippers embarrassed them on national television. Did they not?
Sure did.
I thought it was an embarrassment. Dallas is a 1.5 point favorite. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and Colin said this yesterday, and it made sense. He's like, when you have two superstars of the, Kyrie and Luka. They're one, Luka. Kyrie, everybody knows who you're talking about. You don't have to say their full name. They are the ballers. When they get embarrassed like that, he just says you have to feel like they're going to come out in game two and maybe try to put it on them. The defensive intensity should be a little bit higher. Now, this Clippers team, I feel like they have more. I mean, the Mavericks, let's just be real. Outside of Kyrie and Luka, it's pretty thin. If you, by the way, and all you had to do is pay attention to that first game. Only one other player, I believe, had double figures in that game, and I think it was 11 points, and they each had over 30. Like, there is just not a lot of scoring outside of these two guys. You got to get, PJ Washington. Anyway, the point is, though, he was like, man, you got two superstars like that. They're going to come out and ball. And you got to feel like the Mavericks are going to go out there and might not get this series, but they are going to go out there and impress in game two. James Harden, though, he's old. People are, you got Harden, you got Westbrook coming off the bench, giving you points. Paul George, Zubac playing out of his mind. And I keep listening. And yesterday I was so gung-ho all about me. You know what? Dallas, with Luka and Kyrie, they're going to come out there and they're going to slap the Clippers in the face. And then I see that line where Dallas is a 1.5 point favorite, making everybody start to think. That line basically is telling you to take the Mavericks. Colin yesterday said take the Mavericks. But then I look again at the entirety of the basketball team, and it reminds me a little bit about the Lakers when it comes to this damn Denver Nuggets things. Yeah, you got LeBron and AD. And I will give it to D'Lo. He was hitting threes yesterday like a maniac. But two doesn't beat a team. And I don't know if there's enough on that Mavericks roster realistically to give them enough in the playoffs. This isn't the regular season. It's a complete different animal. And as much as I was thinking this morning I was going to rock and fire all over the Mavericks, every sign saying, oh, they're going to come out and do this, I don't trust that Dallas team. I feel like they're a regular season superstar because you have two super studs, a team that doesn't play good defense, not because they don't try, it's because they just can't. And when you're playing the regular season against other teams, it's a dead gum, it's a grind. You watch the NBA. It's one of the things that people complain about the NBA regular season. You don't always feel like teams are giving 100%. Well, it is a marathon, and the playoffs is the damn sprint. And right now, teams are sprinting. And I think the Mavericks, hey, they can run. They're a distance running type team. But when it comes to going in there and getting one important game or stealing a series against a more talented team, I know they got two superstars, but they're also two superstars that just score and don't play a whole lot of D. Like, it's such a one-dimensional basketball team. And even the fact that they're favorite has me just a little bit scared and confused. But damn it, I can tell you right now, I know I'm going to probably wait and do a little inline.
Sure.
But I'm already feeling like this Clippers is something I might sneak into a, you know, an earlier action parlay. Because as talented as Kyrie and Luka, and is like they're like painters, man. They like they do great art. They're great artists. Like Michael Jackson was great. He carried the Jackson 5. But these two dudes, they don't, because of their lack, the fact that they're not great on defense. The fact that their roster is constructed, I think, terrible. They don't have a really third option to go out there and get them buckets. They're not made for the playoffs. And yes, I know what Kyrie's done. I remember those days in Cleveland with LeBron. I've seen what he can do in the playoffs. But tell me what Fat Boy's done. What's the Pillsbury Doughboy done? Other than like party in college and score a lot of points.
He does like to party. And he scores a lot. Both on and off the court, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, he does. Very, 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 very proud of you, too. But dead gummit, I agree. And I'm just telling you right now, early on, we're going to give our bets out at the end of the show. I was feeling me some Mavericks earlier this morning, feeling it a little bit yesterday. And then the closer I looked at myself, I said to myself, man, why in the hell am I going to fall for this? I think this
looked in your mirror and said, what are you doing right now?
Yeah, like, man, this did no.
This isn't you.
It's La La Land. But we're going to talk a lot of NBA 12 o'clock. We have Zach Boyd. We got to talk about what the Tigers are doing. Penny Hardaway's making waves.
Sure is.
The funny thing is like, I honestly have to tell you, I don't know what, like, this world is so weird when it comes to college basketball and the transfer portal. And I see the rankings, and I hear about the players, and I've been doing this now for a couple of years. And you get so excited during the transfer portal at who's coming.
Oh, yeah.
And then when they get here, like, you know, you hear, oh, my God, they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and they're going to do this. We're going to find out how things are going to work. I'm looking forward to it, but I will say he is putting in a lot of damn work. He's added some new names, and you know what's so cool about it? I listen to Jason Munns. I listen to Wolo talk about all the additions that Penny's making and the new players coming in here. I mean, you got Tyrese Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
PJ Haggerty, you know about that? Dame Danger. Yeah. Colby Rogers, the country singer.
Mm-hmm.
And now we got a Koji.
There you go. Nailed it.
Thank you.
Baraka.
Baraka Okoji.
Boom.
I wasn't scared of the first name.
It was the last name.
It was the last name that I was like, all right, let me try this one a little bit real quick. But, I mean, like, he's doing a lot of wonderful things. The thing is, like, I honestly live in this fishbowl of Memphis.
Sure.
David Cobb, though, works for CBSSports.com.
Mm-hmm.
He covers college basketball from a different angle than all of us. He knows these guys. This is what he does for a living. When I think about somebody talking college basketball, I can't think of anybody better.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to find out what these guys really mean for the University of Memphis. I was reading some work that Parth did,
mm-hmm.
Jason Munns. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of them right now are making me feel really, really damn good.
I'm glad you brought both of them up because I love bringing this up anytime there's news when it comes to basketball. Football is the same exact way, but since we're talking about basketball, we're very lucky here. We've got two great, unbelievable beat writers in both Jason and Parth. They both do an unbelievable job.
That's
trying to keep everybody up to date on not just who commits, but who they're looking at, who they're targeting. So they were both all on top of both these guys yesterday when they committed.
I mean, and by the way, I mean, like, it's kind of crazy. Tyrese Hunter, Texas transfer Tyrese Hunter.
Yeah.
I want to just talk to him and be like, yo, dude, tell me, Rodney Terry really an idiot? Yo, tell me the truth, man. I know you know it. You left because he's an idiot, right?
Well, he did
terrible
leave.
Coach.
Good point.
How embarrassed were you when he was yelling at the other team? No, don't do horns down. That's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't. But then BYU's coach, now Kentucky's head coach, goes out after the game and goes, you know, I just want to apologize for our fans. That's not us. You know, that's not what we stand for. And, you know, the shirts were removed. They didn't do it the rest of the game. I just wanted to let everybody
know. The Pope
know,
was trying
us,
to
let
be...
Texas know that's not us.
Yeah. Oh, that's just, I just love
Mark Pope.
I love
Lexington's going to love him.
I love the Pope. By the way, I couldn't believe this morning I'm looking at the thing and I didn't realize John L. Davis is – he's trying to decide between Kentucky and Arkansas.
Well, and that's something else you can talk to David about.
The number one basically recruit in the transfer portal.
The transfer what? Transfer portal, what?
Portal. But no, for real, like in – that's just, like, to me, I feel like, damn, you talk about a guy who's going to be in the best bidding war he could be in. You got billionaires over in Arkansas, and Arkansas is trying to do something. And Cal might not even want John L. Davis, but he would love to just stick it to Kentucky. And then Kentucky, on the other hand, does not want Cal to take anything from them. And they would like to just stick it to Cal and doesn't want to give anything to Arkansas. I feel like this kid is going to get one of the larger NIL deals in the history because you have two programs who do not like each other right now. And they will be bidding extra dollars just to give the FU to the other program.
It's honestly a great strategy. Like
I think
said.
This is genius by John L. Davis. I don't understand why more, like, if you are a stud, this is the two. This is, like, I'm looking around the landscape at college basketball. I'm like, if I want to get in a bidding war, we got Kentucky, whose fan base is crazier than all get out. Like, what's that show that I saw? Like, do you remember Tiger King?
Oh, of course.
Like, Kentucky fan is kind of like the Tiger King, because they're the Wildcats. But it's like everybody's, like, basically on that show in that circus. Like, they're all lunatics. Oh, my Wildcats are the best in the world. And they're willing to work 60-hour weeks to give their money to Kentucky to still pay to get players. You know the money is going to be big. You got the billionaires in Arkansas and Cal who just wants to stick it to Kentucky. Like, John L. Davis is a marketing genius.
He sure is. And I want to say, and we can ask
David Cobb,
but I want to say he tried to go to Michigan and maybe couldn't get into Michigan. You know, that's been an issue in the past, but I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know anybody who would want to go to Michigan.
His coach went to Michigan, is now the head coach.
Oh, I know that, but do you really want to hang around Dusty Mesa more? He's so damn weird.
Well, got a good class coming. I think a number one class in the portal.
Listen, Dusty May is going to do fine. He's good X's and O's coach, and the fact that Michigan's basketball program is on the back burner to their football program, and that there's a lot of shine in the Big Ten, it will cover up the weirdness of Dusty May long enough to him to get successful where people just look past the weirdness and don't call him weird and they call him eccentric.
Kind of the same thing that happened at FAU, but kind of the opposite. Nobody cared about FAU.
Yeah.
Then they get so good, nobody notices, and then everyone's like, he's kind of weird, but
super weird.
He's a good coach, so, you know, whatever.
Hey, man.
Good for him.
Different strokes, different folks. But, Dusty May at Michigan and John L. Davis not being able to get in.
Oh, at number five. I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know. Well, I was just saying that happened last year with Caleb Love.
It did. You're right. And that's why I think it might be true. Memphis, this is all according to 247 Sports. Memphis now up to number four in 247 Sports' transfer team rankings.
And that's exactly what I was kind of inferring in the beginning, that I'm in this fishbowl. And I don't know really, you know, like the four ranking in the transfer portal. I mean, how high was Memphis last year?
Great question, John. I can tell you last year, 2023, Memphis was number 13, 10 commits.
And then all of a sudden they were number 10 in the country and things were looking great. And then the whole wheels fell off.
How about that?
Damn, that was a fall from grace.
The year before that, they were number 10 as well. So back-to-back years, they were number 10.
Well, I guess you're going to have to do better than 10. So right now, sitting at four is probably a good thing for the University of Memphis.
Maybe.
Speaking of talking a lot of basketball, we're about to talk basketball with David Cobb. That's in just two shakes of a lamb's tail. We're going NBA heavy at 12 o'clock with Zach Boyd. I got some crazy, crazy hardwood stories for you today that are going to make you laugh. We got bets. We got pretty much everything. We really do. I'm kind of proud of all the things we have. But do you remember how we did a whole lot of wonderful stuff and we raised money for the Ronald McDonald House?
Oh, absolutely.
With the Wing Fest. Well, dude, I'm just like, you know, like in the Ronald McDonald House, like if you didn't know, helps out the children of St. Jude by allowing their families to come here and stay, be with the kids who are, you know, fighting this terrible disease of cancer. And, you know, you need to be around those people that you love. But let's be real. The Ronald McDonald House, 2 weeks. We did the golf tournament. We did the wings. Well, you know what now it's time to do? Now it's actually time to raise a little money for St. Jude. Got another little something you can do, people. I want you to do me a favor and bowl out cancer. It's on May 4th. It's benefiting, of course, St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. We're bowling out cancer. It's simple. There's a 72-team maximum. It's a $100 registration fee. There's three different times. Session 1's at 10 a.m. Session 2's at 11:30. Session 3 is at 1. You go out there. You four-man teams. There's going to be swag. But one thing that's really cool about this is 100% of the tournament profits is being donated to St. Jude. So we want to get $7,200 over there pretty quickly. We're going to do it on May 4th. If you want to join, it is really simple. Just go to 901bowl.com. 901bowl.com. You can also call. Say, I'm not really good at the internet. I'm not either. 901-495-3328. That's 901-495-3328. 901 Bowl, by the way, is out in Collierville. That's where the tournament's being held. And again, there's going to be a grand prize trophy. It's going to be just a lot of fun. But the most important thing is they're raising money for St. Jude. So let's bowl out cancer. It's May 4th. Go to 901bowl.com or call 901-495-3328. And again, 100% of the tournament profits go to St. Jude. We're going to take a quick timeout. On the other side, it's time to talk with David Cobb. How good is this Tigers team? And is John L. Davis in the best position he could be in? Back in Two Shakes, Sports 56, 98, 5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
The only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
Now, back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I'm your buddy, Johnny Radio. Happy Tuesday, everybody. And this is a perfect Tuesday for me, man, because with all the stuff, the quote, smoke around Memphis and the transfer portal, like, man, I'm glad I got David Cobb. Probably knows more about college basketball than anybody in the world. That's right. He covers college basketball and college football for CBSSports.com. I got to talk a little bit of football. I got to talk a little bit of basketball. And I got to talk a little bit of Tigers. But first and foremost, what's up, DC?
What's going on, man? I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm absolutely wonderful. The weather's great. And I had a great night gambling last night, David.
Good.
Those two miracle wins in the end hit me a huge parlay. So, like, I don't know if it's – I need to thank the referees in New York more or the referees that were out there, you know, in Denver. Like, which set of officials screwed it up more for who?
Dude, that was wild. The ending of the Knicks game was wild. I didn't make it to the end of the Lakers game. But why didn't Nick Nurse call a timeout there at the end of that? You know, like he tried to, but he was too late.
He did try. Yeah. He was trying hard, and he was mad. You know, they filed a grievance, right?
Over the timeout? What was over?
Over basically how pitiful the referees were, saying that there was a foul missed on Maxey, that they didn't give Nick Nurse the timeout, blah, blah, blah. But why were they trying to rush it in so quickly? Why don't you call it now, advance it halfway? Like, things had already gotten too close.
Yeah, that was bizarre. Huge for the Knicks, though. It's been a long time since the New York Knicks have done anything relevant. So I'm kind of enjoying it. I like watching the Knicks play. I mean, I like Tyrese Maxey, too, but I don't really want to have to watch more of a hobbled Joel Embiid. Like, it's just not fun to watch him right now. Like, he's soldiering through it, and, like, give him his props for gutting it out. But it's not fun to watch him in his hobbled condition, so – I'm actually kind of going for the Knicks in that series.
Yeah, and I will say though, the 76ers were right there, and this thing going back to Philadelphia, I wouldn't be surprised. It could come back 2-2. I think this is going to be actually one of those good series. Because even as bad, I mean, the girl who's working on Embiid's knee basically throughout the game, every time he comes and sits down, that girl is putting in just as much work as anybody right now, because like you said, he's so hobbled, that right knee looks like it's just killing him.
Yeah, how's he going to keep that up if they advance? I don't know. Whereas, like, I love Jalen Brunson, the way he plays. Just fantastic player to watch. He gives hope to all the guards out there in this draft class who are under 6'4", you know? And for that matter, Tyrese Maxey, Deuce McBride, like, there's just some quality guard play in that series. And, yeah, it's been a good one.
All right, now I got to ask you, I got to go a little Memphis-centric before we switch over, because I'm excited. I want to talk to you about the NFL draft. We're going to be busy today because I saw that you dropped an article. You're talking about the top 32 prospects based on their college football careers, not necessarily their NFL draft stock. I absolutely love this. It's a very fascinating article. I'm going to use some of that and kind of ask you where you think some of these quarterbacks, wide receivers, et cetera, but first and foremost, Penny is ranked fourth in the transfer portal currently. I don't know jack because I'm in this fishbowl, and the transfer portal with basketball is so difficult, but you do this for a living. Is everything that everybody's saying about the Memphis Tigers in the positive light right now, is it all true? Or is
they're getting good players out of the portal. This portal class is really strong. Tyrese Hunter is a fantastic addition. I think the context, though, it matters when you talk about Memphis basketball and the roster. They're making these additions that are high-quality players through the portal, but they have to, because you might not have anything back if David Jones doesn't return. If David Jones decides to pursue his professional career, then you bring in Nick Jourdain back and nothing else. And so Penny, his back is against the wall. So I think that context is important here. There's not three or four guys coming back who were a part of last year's rotation who are forming the nucleus. The nucleus is coming from the portal and the portal alone. And then maybe if you get David Jones back, it's a bonus, right? So I think that context matters because, they're getting really good talent out of the portal, but it's because they have to, and there's nothing else there. So, yeah, and then we'll see the Jaden Quaintance, I haven't pronounced that name before. I think I might have butchered it. But anyway, he's a big-time prospect. He could be a guy who plays for you and makes an impact as a freshman. So I get all the buzz, all the excitement. I don't want to diminish that whatsoever. But, yeah, these additions they're making are fantastic. It's going about as well as you could hope to this point. But it's sort of the same situation as a year ago, where you're building almost entirely through the portal. And as we saw, you know, that can have its drawbacks.
Baraka Okoji, young kid, George Mason, really seems to like Memphis. Is this kid kind of just getting started? Is there should we be excited about him?
Yeah, because he's young. That's, I think, where the optimism comes in with a guy like that. Like, he's not even going to sniff my transfer rankings of the top 75 transfers. But that doesn't mean he can't become a good player, especially over time, because he's got three seasons of eligibility left. And I think that makes you excited about PJ Haggerty as well. Now, in this day and time, you can transfer as much as you want without penalty. The NCAA has made that clear over the last week. Right. So just because you get a guy with 3 years of eligibility remaining doesn't mean that you're going to have him for 3 years. So there's a caveat there, of course. But the idea, at least, of having a Haggerty or having a kid like that Okoji from George Mason, in theory, you could have those guys in your program for multiple years. They could build a foundation, play together for a while. And I think that's what makes you excited, right? Because now you're working the portal, but maybe this time next year, you've actually got a foundation in place when the offseason arrives. And I think that, you know, I think Dane Danger probably fits in that criteria as well, because he would have two seasons of eligibility remaining, and he's not necessarily an NBA draft prospect, so he's probably going to play two more seasons of college basketball. And so if you can get these guys in, get them bought in, have some success, then maybe you get some of them back for 25, 26. and maybe Haggerty and Okogie are around for 26-27. And I think the fans are craving some of that continuity, not just at Memphis, but around the
around
country.
Around the country, where, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, where you don't feel like you know these guys and the players on your team like you used to. And, yeah, you definitely want to get old, and Memphis has done that. Tyrese Hunter is a vet. That's a good pickup. The shooter from Wichita State, Colby Rogers, he's a vet. So it's a good mix, so far. And, you know, if you can hang on to some of these guys who have multiple years of eligibility, then that sets you up well for the future.
And it still basically comes down to, is David Jones going to come back? But the good news about these guys coming in here and having years is, you know, Fred Smith did commit $25 million to name, image, and likeness over the next 5 years. So they do have that bag. So that helps out a lot. Thank you again to FedEx. I appreciate you more than anything. Speaking of a bag, John L. Davis must be a genius, huh? Dude, he's positioning himself between Arkansas and Kentucky. Arkansas, hell, I don't know if Cal really even wants him, but he would love to give the bird to Kentucky. And Kentucky does not want to lose out on a dude to Cal and Arkansas. So is this about to be one of the biggest bidding wars we've seen in college basketball?
That is fantastic. He's my number one ranked transfer. So, yeah, Calipari versus Kentucky showing off for the number one transfer in the class. I mean, come on, that's high drama. That's excellent theater. So, yeah, fascinated to see what he decides there. And, of course, whichever fan base loses out on him, they're going to say, oh, well, you know, he wasn't really that great. And you know, Arkansas overpaid for him or Kentucky overpaid for him. That'll be the narrative from the losing side. But whoever lands John L. Davis is getting a stud. I mean, a high-scoring wing with some defensive upside. Frankly, surprised that he's not going through the draft process. I believe he is, but you know, one of these guys that appears on track to return to college basketball. So yeah, you talk about NIL and bidding wars and stuff. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the going rate for a John L. Davis is approaching $1 million.
And by the way, I didn't even think about this, and we didn't talk about it because last week it was announced, I believe Wednesday, and we talked on Tuesday. Universal, you can transfer as much as you want. You don't have to sit out, et cetera, et cetera. Is this job security for you, or is this also kind of like the coaches, a little bit more of a headache?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I might not be the transfer ranker in years to come. We've got 24/7 sports under our umbrella at CBS, and we're starting to synthesize or you know, synergize some of our content. So we might kind of just fall back on their rankings in the years ahead. So I'll kind of have to figure out a new lane maybe, but that doesn't mean I won't be writing about the transfers. I mean, obviously there's still a lot of stories that come with some of these commitments and more big picture types of looks at the rosters and how they're changing when some of these big guys commit. So, I mean, the beautiful thing about the portal is that it's off-season content, and we're seeing that in both sports right now, college basketball and college football, because, you know, in the past right now, this time of year, we'd be talking about the spring games or we'd be talking about the NFL draft, which I'm sure we still will. But, yeah, it's more college sports content around the clock, around the year, which isn't a bad thing for somebody like me.
We have David Cobb, CBSSports.com's very own. I saw an article you dropped, and it's, you know, the NFL draft is Thursday. Everybody's a little bit fired up. We've been ranking quarterbacks and wide receivers and talking about this and that and all kinds of crazy stuff. I love the draft. It's fun. My question is, though, you did this a totally different way. You basically ranked the top 32 prospects based on their college football careers. That seems almost like that was difficult. And who'd you have on top?
Yeah, well, Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback from Washington at number one, because of that combination of individual success along with team success. And so some people might be like, well, why didn't you have Brock Bowers at number one? And I get it, but
he was injured a lot too, by the way. I mean, Penix went 25-3 in his career, got him to a natty. Yeah, and he was, wasn't he runner-up in the Heisman?
He was. And so you look at a guy like Michael Penix Jr. and think how differently things would have gone at Washington without him. If Kalen DeBoer hadn't landed Michael Penix Jr., Kalen DeBoer is not the coach at Alabama right now. So Michael Penix Jr. is a hero, a legend at Washington. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy, didn't quite have the team success. Caleb Williams won the Heisman Trophy, didn't quite have the team success. Bo Nix was fantastic at Oregon, but guess who won the Pac-12? You know what I mean? So there's a lot of good options there for who's the best college player in this draft class. But Michael Penix Jr. was as productive, essentially, as any of those other quarterbacks. But he also led his team to a national championship game. And a program that had gone 4-8, you know, before he got there, the year before he got there.
And they were 4-8 the year before he got there. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, and then he went 25-3 in his 2 years as the starting quarterback. So Michael Penix Jr., I know that he likely will not be the first quarterback selected in this NFL draft. But if you're going off of collegiate production, to me, he stands out above this class.
All right, now I got to ask you just a question about the National Football League. The mock drafts have me confused. Listen, I know Bo Nix is a good football player, most college starts, period. Played at Auburn, did his thing at Oregon. He was 120th at yards per attempt down the field. He was like Pat, even worse than that in completion, you know, yards. I mean, he doesn't push the ball down the field. He's not very big. And then I look at the hose that Michael Penix has. He can make every single throw. I know we have injury problems with Michael Penix Jr., you know, especially when he left the Big Ten to head out to Washington. That's probably why how he got there with Kalen DeBoer. But, man, he's been healthy of late. And if we look in the National Football League, Kirk Cousins is coming off Achilles. He's 35 years old. They just gave him a huge bag down in Atlanta. You had Tom Brady play till he was 45. Aaron Rodgers is 40 coming off an Achilles and still playing in New York. Like, the NFL game protects their quarterbacks, and he can process information, and he has a quick rifle of an arm. And he also beat Bo Nix twice. How come right now people have Bo Nix ahead of Michael Penix Jr.?
Yeah, I'm not sure I would agree with that. I don't think Bo Nix is quite the accurate downfield passer that Michael Penix is, so that would be my knock on Bo Nix. But he is a bit more mobile. I mean, Michael Penix is a statue back there. A lot of that due to injury history. I think there's some questions about sort of how nervous he looks around the pass rush. I know Washington had a really great offensive line. If you're an early draft pick, you go to a team without a great offensive line and you get nervous when the pass rush is coming and you have an injury history, that's probably what is scaring off some of these NFL GMs. Whereas you got Bo Nix, pretty durable guy, played a lot of college football without any significant long-term injuries. Some of that's due to luck, but people look at that and you know, they see a more mobile athlete, somebody who's proven a bit more durable, and I think that plays a role. And so I don't think he can make those downfield passes quite as well as Michael Penix Jr., but Bo Nix is still a good player, good quarterback. So I mean, I would have him maybe fifth or sixth among the QBs in this class, but you know, some people might look at him and see the next Justin Herbert. So maybe that's kind of the comp that's inspiring, you know, some of those mock drafts.
All right. Do you like Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels better?
I actually think I like Caleb Williams a little better. Jaden Daniels, though, is obviously, I don't think you can go wrong there. That's quite a 1-2 tandem atop the draft board in terms of quarterbacks. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know that you can go wrong there, but.
Man, I just have to ask you this right off the bat, because I'm telling you right now, if I have the number one pick, there's no way in hell I'm spending the number one pick of the NFL draft on a dude wearing pink freaking fingernail polish, leaving to go to Tokyo and canceling your pre-draft combine routine, and also having my dad representing him, and then lobbying things like, hey, I want ownership in this steak, or I might pull a Peyton Manning. Caleb Williams has so many damn red flags, where Jaden Daniels had to transfer out of Arizona State, goes to LSU, puts in the work, completed 72% of his passes, throws the ball better from the pocket, and oh, let's just say, you know, Lamar Jackson is pretty good in the NFL, and he can't even throw the damn football. Jaden Daniels can't run as well as Lamar, but he's pretty damn close. I'm taking Jaden all day over Caleb.
No, that's interesting. I mean, I'm not going to invalidate your opinion there, but I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Caleb Williams played for Lincoln Riley. And Lincoln Riley has a pretty strong track record of producing quarterbacks. And that LSU scheme and system this past year, it was sort of designed to game up Jaden Daniels' numbers and his statistics. He had Malik Nabers on his team. I think that helped him quite a bit. And everything they did was designed for Jaden Daniels to shine. And Caleb Williams was sort of around an offensive line that was average at best. He had some playmakers around him, but he didn't quite have a Malik Nabers out there. So you know, I think that might be why some of the improvisational stuff that we saw from Caleb Williams, that a question mark, you know, can he, does he want to stand in the pocket? Does he know how to make a 5-step drop and get to that third read before he just leaves the pocket? Like, that's a fair question.
He but held the ball longer than any other quarterback in college football last year. That also worries me in the National Football League.
Yeah, but he was the team, and not because
they
lost schemed it up that way.
Games. Like, I don't know. I feel like everybody's just saying that this is such a, like, go get him. And again, I think Caleb Williams, and I'm going to be honest, I mean, the dude, I'm not knocking his talent. I'm just saying that this is a pretty decent quarterback draft. And the fact that his dad is representing him, that freaks me out. They don't have anything, the contract issues. And all the stuff that you're hearing from basically, I mean, like, who goes to Tokyo with their girlfriend and cancels three meetings the week before the draft? That does that not cause you, give you a little?
Somebody who knows they're going to be picked number one overall. I mean, and that's probably where Caleb Williams is going to go. I mean, the Chicago Bears have cleared the deck. They seem to have narrowed in on their guy. And if you know you're going number one, what else do you need to stick around for? Like, what's the who are you trying to impress? You can't go any higher. That's the.
It's not about necessarily going higher. It's not. I guess that's not what I'm trying to say. Is that he should be ironing out some of the contract situation. Again, him not having an agent, his dad. I don't know. This just feels like this is about to be one hell of a headache for the Bears.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess for the Bears, the concern is the lack of maturity, which Justin Fields struggled with as well. Maybe that's less of a concern with Jaden Daniels, but I think the upside on Caleb Williams is higher. I mean, you can say that Jaden Daniels is a better runner, but Caleb Williams is a great runner too. He's a younger prospect, a couple of years younger than Jaden Daniels, which I think plays a role in the evaluation. So the Bears have their guy. I mean, that's as simple as it is. And I mean, you can argue that they've got the wrong guy, but I think that contributes to why you're seeing Caleb Williams approach this draft, you know, the way that he is.
Got to ask you, who do you like more, J.J. McCarthy or Drake May?
Oh, Drake May. I'm not high on J.J. McCarthy. Thank I think you. He was a system quarterback. I had him pretty low relative to the other quarterbacks on my ranking of the players based on their collegiate production. I think a lot of quarterbacks could have won a national title with that Michigan defense and with Blake Corum. And you know, with Jim Harbaugh as their head coach, I don't necessarily think that J.J. McCarthy winning a national title under those circumstances at Michigan suggests that he's some generational NFL talent. I think he was a good college game manager who might be able to start in the NFL. But I mean, there's five quarterbacks I would probably take ahead of J.J. McCarthy, including Drake May. So not all that high on McCarthy. I don't understand maybe why teams would be willing to use a top 10 pick on J.J. McCarthy.
As long as you've been covering college football, have you seen a deeper draft at the wide receiver position?
Oh, it's solid, man. You look at Marvin Harrison Jr. and, you go all the way down through about the first 10 receivers on the list this year in the draft. It's solid. It's a great receiver draft. So if you're in a dynasty league like I am in fantasy, you can make some hay with this class. All the way, like I said, down about 9 or 10 maybe of the receivers in this class, you're getting impact guys.
You're right. I mean, it's crazy how good the draft like the pass catchers are. And again, a lot of people, you know, you look around and you're thinking to yourself, I mean, Ladd McConkey's way down there. And remember the little Florida wide receiver, Ricky Pearsall?
Yeah.
That dude is, like, way, way down. And after the catch, reverses, going up one-handed and spotting the ball. He made center fielders jealous at the way he tracked some of those balls that were thrown to him last year. Like, I think that dude's going to be like a Puka Nacua. Like, you're going to be like, where did he come from? If he gets in a Sean McVay offense, watch out. I mean, there's just wide receivers out the frame.
Yeah, and there's a good diversity in the types of players that they are. I mean, you got the bigger perimeter target like Marvin Harrison Jr. Then you got kind of your shiftier speed guys like, you know, Xavier Worthy from Texas, and, you know, Pearsall and McConkey. They're your prototypical slot guys. It's a really good
We didn't even mention.
Oh, man, he can go up and grab a ball. I mean, he had a catch at Florida State this past season. That was one of the best plays of the year in college football, going up and getting a ball one-handed, taking a hit. So he's got some serious game. So tons of good receivers in this class.
Heck, the Polk kid out of Washington, man. It's just deep. It's crazy. I'm like 8 minutes past my time. I'm sorry I steal so much of your time, David, but I sure do enjoy talking to you. I love reading his work. Go to CBSSports.com. Check it out. Follow him on Twitter at David W. Cobb and listen to him right here every Tuesday. Be blessed. What you working on, homie?
Yeah, looking at some of the quarterbacks in the transfer portal. That'll be dropping probably later today. There's not so much the level, like, big-time potential starters, but there are about 9 or 10 quarterbacks in the portal right now who have played meaningful snaps at Power Five schools, and they're looking for new homes. And so, kind of breaking those guys down to see what might be in store for them next.
Man, David, thanks for your time. Be blessed. I'll be looking for that article.
All right, appreciate you.
That is DC from CBSSports.com. We are so late for a break. We'll be back in 2 Shakes Sports 56 98.5 FM.
We are real sports talk. Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
All the wisdom of the universe is in these bones.
Now back to Sports 56 Happy Hour on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Here once again, Johnny Radio.
Welcome back to a little Sports 56 Happy Hour. I am your buddy, Johnny Radio. Man, I can prove our phones listen to her. So with me and David Cobb were on the other segment. We were talking about Caleb Williams and NFL quarterbacks, right?
Uh-huh.
I'm sitting here during the break. Guess what popped up on my notifications?
I don't know. Something about quarterbacks.
Caleb Williams, NFL GMs discussing his attitude is being a very negative factor in taking it with the number one overall pick, blah, 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 blah. Bro, I just was talking about that
you
and
sure
it popped
were.
Up. And I want to tell you something. The other day, guess what I was doing?
What's up?
I was talking to Chaz. She told me I had to go to the store to pick up tampons. Mm. I don't know if you know this. I don't wear tampons. I didn't know which ones to get.
Right.
So I had to be a little bit more, you know, like ask questions,
sure.
Like, what's it called? Like this, and they're like this one, like there's like one tampon that you can get that has two size tampons in it, and it's one box. I didn't know
how
these
about,
things.
How about that?
Well, guess what happened on the way to get them? My phone popped up, and there was a whole story about tampons and something about how you can get sick if you leave it in too long or something.
Huh.
And I don't think it was meant for me, but my phone was listening
That's
to
right.
me and was like, maybe I want to know about that.
Maybe it I mean, now you know. Good information to know, I guess.
You think it would talk? You think my phone would pop up with Tito's and weed a whole
You'd
lot
think,
more?
But I guess not.
But my timeline does pop up a lot of women. That's not my fault. It's the algorithm, correct?
That's right.
Well, our phones are listening to us. I hope you're still listening to us. And I hope you're listening to me right now because I need you to do me a favor. I'm trying to help you win burgers for a year. That's right. Mugshots Bar and Grill in Carrieville. It's now open. The ribbon cutting is April 25th, this Thursday. And they're giving away free burgers for a year. It's a $675 value. No purchase necessary to enter. All you have to do is follow Mugshots Grill and Bar on Facebook. Like them. Tag two friends and share that bad boy. The lucky winner will be announced on April 25th. Head on over to Mugshots Grill and Bar at 656 West Poplar for half price happy hour, 2 to 6, Monday through Friday. Mugshots Grill and Bar, now open in Carrierville and always having a good time. On the other side, it's time to talk NBA with Zach Boyd. We got Hardenwood because it feels so good. And then we have Bet, Sports 56, 98.5 FM.
Your head explodes with us, too.